Hey, Mr. Miles, it's Marina, it's Sierra, podcast one, chapter one.
All right, so chapter one basically summarizes how statistics is probability and how it's not exact. So as we went further in the book, we saw how a lot of the work that we did kind of coordinated with what the book said, because usually when we do things in our totals, say about, they're not really precise because they're about a number. They range from the number, the previous number, and the number that comes after, or the whole numbers. So, chapter two.
Well, I felt like this whole book as I was reading. Well, I only read four chapters so far.
Same whole book?
Yeah, not the whole book. But I felt like it was bashing, like, statistics. You didn't feel like that, Mr. Miles? I know you did. And these pictures? Mm-mm. Are they promoting smoking?
I think that they're promoting smoking. Maybe because, like, a lot of people... a lot of people smoke, and then even when they have problems when they shouldn't be smoking, they smoke, and that has to do with health issues. And so, I mean, somebody can be surveyed for health issues, and since that survey is not going to be precise, because not everybody's saying the truth about if they smoke or not, then that's not good for people who want to know information about that.
Or I just think the author was like a smoker. I don't want everybody to smoke.
I think that the book doesn't bash probability. It's just giving you, or statistics, it's just giving you a way to use it to your advantage, which is why the book is called, you know, what it's called.
How to Lie to Statistics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, chapter four, it talks about a lot of IQ tests. And basically, an IQ test is a statistical error, as in, it doesn't really account for leadership or creativity. It just counts for intelligence. So a person has leadership, they have creativity and intelligence. Maybe their intelligence is not as great as their creativity or leadership, but like other people might be known as smarter than that, certain than them, because of their test results, but it's also a statistical error. And I also talked about the median, and I don't think that the median should be used for everything, because it can be a number, like, it can be a couple numbers, like 1, 1, 1, 100, and the median is a great number, but it doesn't, is nowhere near the number one. So, I mean, it can be like, okay.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that also comes up a lot in chapter two, where they're talking about how they, I think it was about houses, the average of houses or house costing or people's incomes in that neighborhood. And they were saying, like, an average can be, if it's not saying an arithmetic average, then you could also be talking about the mode or the median or the mean. So, one year, I think it was like the income was $35,000, the next year was $1,500, and that was all based off of, $15,000, and that was based off of different ways that they took the average. So, like, maybe the one year they took the mean, and then the next year they took the mode, which is, like, because less, they were saying that more people in the neighborhood had an income of $10,000. So, since there was more of them, the average, quote-unquote, would be $10,000. But then if there was like the median, then the median could have been like $35,000, which is they got the first time.
It's like when you're watching TV and they talk about like, oh, on average, this happened. But like, nobody's still going to sit there and check it. Like, they're just going to be like, oh, that's a good number. Like, we don't know what the company did to get that number. That's kind of crazy.
Also, we don't know people's real, like, how much they get a year, their yearly salary, because a lot of people get embarrassed of how much they earn, and they don't want to seem poor or lower class than somebody else that, like, say, for example, they used to go to school with. So that somebody that you went to school with can be your boss, and they can know your wage and stuff like that. But if you're, like, working, if you have, like, a reunion, and then you talk about your job, you're obviously going to say that you earned more. And they talk about that in
chapter one,
how people from Yale, it's a very prestigious school, but a lot of people, like, they don't have good jobs after that. So they don't want to be embarrassed. Like, they went to an Ivy League school, and they end up with a really bad-paying job. And so they have to lie about that in surveys, and that kind of, like, creates conflict, because nobody's really going to know how much like the neighborhood, how much money the neighborhood has as a whole.
And they also talked about how some people that also graduated from Yale, how they lie about their average to be modest, like they lie about their average to be modest, basically saying that they don't want to seem like they make too much money because of taxes and stuff.
Right.
So they say that they make less money than they do, and they have people that say they make more money than they do, so therefore you're not really getting a real average.
But that makes me angry. If I'm buying a product, I want the real thing. I want to know what people thought. I don't want them lying about their taxes. I don't want them lying about the money they get every month. Why can't they be honest?
They can't be honest because it has to do all with money. Like, no rich person wants to pay a lot of money for taxes, and no poor person wants to know that anybody else knows that they're poor because they don't want them to know that they struggle or they go through certain needs that the other person doesn't go through. So that's probably why they lie about those surveys.
Mm-mm.
If it was like a closer, like, nobody would know that you were, like, what do you call those surveys? Anonymous surveys, probably. Yeah, you could just actually tell the truth, and they should just have that in each community to actually have a better like estimate of the real yearly salary and stuff like that.
But then I feel like the online one. You ever see that commercial for the Big Spot commercial? They were like, if you don't like this product, come on here and make some money, and then do surveys to say you don't like that product. I feel like people be like still are lying on there too, like just to get money. Like they're gonna click through everything fast. So you ever do a survey and you just want to get it over with, so you just click anything? Like,
yeah, it's true.
So I feel like online surveys are real, like, not a good idea. But
they,
a lot of people are
promote it as it benefiting their community.
I mean, they get paid for it, but, like, people just want to, like, be quick. It's not going to be... Oh, they were talking about that a little bit in chapter 1.
Surveys also...
I forgot.
But yeah,
surveys also they're back to the whole about thing, the probability thing with statistics. That's what surveys are. They're just an about everything in statistics. Well, my personal opinion is that it's just almost. It's like the word almost. Like, it's not a yes or a no. It's in the gray area, almost. So, yeah. I don't know if you're talking about surveys.
Oh, I was reading, like, I remember they were talking about, like, how the pennies, like, if you do so many trials that, like, it's going to be on heads 80% of the time. So, like, how many trials is good enough to prove that? So I was, like, thinking about, like, you know, when we do our little experiments in class, like, we just pick, like, a high number. Like, we talk about trials, like, we say, all right, we want to do 30. But, like, how do we know that that is enough to prove our data? Like, what is enough?
In chapter 4, it talks about, like, how they give an example about corn and, like, the field and how much corn there was in the field and stuff like that. And they don't have an exact number because they can't experiment with every corn. So it's basically the more data you gather is going to be the better data you're going to have at the end, the better amount. So the more data is always best.
Which has a lot to do with the sample. When you talk about surveys, I was thinking about the different samples. So, like, remember how earlier in the year in class we learned about, like, what kind of sample you want? So, like, if you're trying to get a sample of, like, say, do high school students like to do homework? And it's like you go to a freshman class and you only ask all freshmen if they like to do homework, or all seniors during their fourth quarter, do they like to do homework? You're going to get a different answer than if you were to just ask freshmen. So I feel like when you do samples, in order to know that you have a good sample, I feel like you need to have a little bit of everything. So, like, maybe like a couple kids from each advisory, something like that. But your sample has also a lot to do with bias. Like, if you were to ask a basketball team, if you go to SLA basketball team and ask them how they feel about sports, clearly everybody on the basketball team is going to say they like it.
Ball is lying around.
Right. So, you need to get a good range of people, or a good range of what you're trying to show.
I know they were talking about a little bit, I don't know what chapter was, but they were talking about, like, how knowing a little bit of information about a topic before you do it is better than just going in knowing everything. I wrote the quote down. It says, knowing nothing about a subject is frequently healthier than knowing what is not so, and a little learning may be a dangerous thing. Like, what are you guys thinking about? Think about that.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
The quote?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the quote?
Knowing nothing about a subject is frequently healthier than knowing what is not so, and a little learning may be a dangerous thing.
I just think that the whole, it's just about statistics again, like, it's just, it's better, they're being, like, using the statistics as an example would be, like, saying that not knowing statistics is better than knowing how false it is, in my opinion. That's how I word it and how I put it out there, how, because not everything is exact, so it's false, it's not an exact number, it's not an exact data. It's false, so that's probably what they mean. Like, I'd rather not know something false than know that it is false.
Here's how I feel about your quote.
So, remember when we first did that penny experiment, and we actually, like, sat there and did, like, 100 trials, like, 200 trials to try to figure out the ratio of heads to tails, or how many tails you would get, and how many heads you would get? But once we already knew that information, there was no more need for us to keep doing it.
Yeah, we already
knew. So a lot of the time, I've heard of various cases where people would just come up with numbers close to 50 if they were flipping a coin 100 times because they already know that half is going to be tails, half is going to be heads. But nobody feels like flipping a coin that many times. So since they already know what the statistical, since they already know what the probability is, they just come up with numbers. So they'll say, like, 47 heads and 53 tails instead of actually going out and doing it, which can mess up data later on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Miles will always be like, no, actually do it. Like, don't make up data, because he know we would in that case, because we know heads is going to come up more than tails.
So that's why I feel like knowing statistics can be dangerous when doing
experiments.
Right.
Bye, Mr. Miles.
All right, well, we're done now. Hope you enjoyed our almost 12 to 13 minutes. About 13 minutes. Get it? Probably that. Yeah. So, see you later.